This is an Animal Planet podcast.
Being attacked accidentally is one thing, but in the name of science, zoologist Mark Ferns is putting himself at risk deliberately.
I haven't even left home yet, and already I'm losing blood. I'm getting pills for malaria, jabs for yellow fever and rabies. I feel like a walking pharmacy.
Working with scientists, Mark is making a special on the world's thirstiest bloodsucker, the legendary vampire bat. Bats are well known for feeding on livestock, but it's said that they even bite humans. Mark wants to be the first to capture this on film, even if he has to be the bait.
I was pretty keen on the film. I thought it had a lot of new science, and we found some stuff that nobody had ever filmed before, but I had to take a few deep breaths when it became clear that I was going to be the victim.
On a small Caribbean island, Mark and his team find a family who claim to have been bitten by bats. They bear telltale scars, apparently left by the bat's razor-sharp front teeth.
They had chickens and goats on this island, and all their livestock had been killed in a major cyclone the year before. And so probably what had happened over a year or two, the bats had really shifted their diet to the point that by the time we got there, people were their number one food source.
If the bats really are feeding on people, Mark and the crew want to be the first to capture it on film to help us better understand their biting behavior. They set up in the dark and wait for the bats to move in. But after three nights of waiting, there's been no bite.
Listo, Hector?
If Mark wants to get the shots, he has no choice. He must offer himself as the victim.
What I've got to do now is to pretend to be asleep as best I can. The bats are really nervous. I must admit I'm feeling a little nervous myself, but I've got to convince them if they're going to fly down and bite me. It's going to be a long night.
To my knowledge, nobody's deliberately been bitten before. And so there's that weighing up of the pressure of needing to get the material, do I really want to do this? What's it going to be like?
Mark's about to find out. He sits perfectly still as the bats draw near.
We actually had some bats land underneath the chair, and that was the moment of real sort of tension for me. Are they going to climb up my leg? Am I going to lie here and maybe they'll want to climb up to the neck? You know, those ideas about real vampirism.
As Mark's imagination runs wild, the vampire strikes.
Ah! And then all of a sudden, ouch, it was a really sharp pain right on the end of the finger. And there was quite a chunk of flesh missing from the tip of the finger that had actually taken not just the skin, but a chunk of the flesh under, pouring with blood. But as soon as I lay back down and the blood was dripping from the finger, within minutes they were back, starting to lap the blood.
But the worst is yet to come.
And then I had my second ouch moment because they actually push the tongue in the wound to keep it open. And so physically there's this sensation of something actually pushing into a wound, which is all your instincts that are pull away. And I was really struggling with myself to try and stay put. In the end, I think I managed 7 or 8 minutes while we got kind of wide shots and close-ups, and then I couldn't stand it anymore. So I think the next time I moved, the bats flew away. And it was just an overwhelming sense of relief. Oh, we've got it. And the sense of, oh my God, the finger's going to keep bleeding for ages. First lot of cotton wool, blood keeps flowing, more cotton wool, more bandages. It actually bled for about 12 hours solid.
Mark has survived his ordeal and captured on film a scientific first.
That really is the nearest thing you could ever see anywhere in the world to a real life vampire.